Welcome back to part two of my interview with Di Manuel.
Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join hosts Kevin Cottrell and Kelly Alexa as they interview thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and declutter complex health and wellness topics. The goal in each episode is to provide you with actionable tips and information in order to apply them in your everyday lifestyle.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Alexa, and today I have the pleasure of bringing you a two-part episode, an interview with a good friend of mine, someone I look up to, a Fitfluential ambassador, and an overall awesome guy, Di Manuel. Just to give you a little background, and of course, you'll learn more about him in this amazing interview that I know is going to just you're going to fall in love with this guy. Men and women love him. Kids love him. He's like Santa, only he's more healthy. He's a personal trainer. He's a nutrition expert. He's a lifestyle keynote speaker, a published author, a husband, a father, an overall good guy, like I said before. He's just fantastic. In this show, we talk about his first, we start with his, he has a how he got into fitness story begins in childhood when he actually suffered with obesity. And it's a very inspiring story about somebody who just took it upon himself to address the situation and become better. And then we talk about, of course, his book, The Whole Life Fitness Manifesto, which is an outstanding book. Can't recommend it enough. We talk about his five pillars, which I think are awesome. Just to give you a preview, family, faith, finances, fitness, and fun. And I'll tell you this, guy has more personality bundled up in his pinky than most of us have in our entire body. So tune in. I hope you enjoy this two-part episode with Di Manuel. There's a lot of folks that think it's all downhill after 30. Do you think that when you choose fitness and being healthy and being positive, that you can actually, as you get older, it can be a fun journey? Like it's like you age better, not it's like aging is all downhill. Do you agree?
Listen, age is something, it's a time measurement, right? It's our way of gauging how long we've been around on this planet. And biologically speaking, I was just involved with the Superhuman Summit, which is a second annual event here in Vancouver, where I'm at. And it was all these functional medicine and anti-aging specialists and like people that are into physical augmentation, but leveraging science and some of the new technologies are there to help them age well. Okay. And what's really interesting is age isn't the same anymore, right? Like, I mean, look at people now. Look at people in their 80s and 90s now that are like running marathons still. Like, it's remarkable because we know more about nutrition. We know more about medicine. We know more about our bodies. But now we do have to also take full ownership for ourselves. And just like a user manual for any other, phone or whatever we buy today, we get an instruction manual. Like, we do have the opportunity now to have an instruction manual for our bodies and from a nutritional standpoint, from a physical fitness standpoint, an aging standpoint, we know, but we have to choose to educate ourselves or at least have a resource where we can go to on a regular basis to figure this out. And I think when it comes to age and myself, I thank you for what you said. I'm very flattered, and also I can feel the red in my cheeks a little bit. For me, it's just been lifestyle. It's all, I don't train as hard as I used to, but I train smarter than I used to. Hmm. And I always love to use this sort of an example. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. All right. So knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put tomatoes in fruit salad. Okay. So that is your
That's
difference
awesome.
Between knowledge and wisdom. And I had a lot of knowledge in my 20s. Tons of knowledge, too much knowledge, because I'd read too much. I read and I listened to too many of the self-professed gurus in our industry. And because I felt that was what I needed to do, to learn, to become better. And I used to quantify not only health, but also happiness based on sets, reps, time in gym, age, credibility, all this stuff. And now as I've progressed through my 30s, I've realized that it's all about how you feel. It's all about how you function. you know, and you have to qualify that, not quantify that. And so my language has changed in the last 10 years, and it's allowed me to really connect with people in a different way, but also to help them create lifestyles that are sustainable. And I think that's the key term is, what can I do now that I can still do 20, 30, 40 years from now? And if you can figure that out, now you're rocking and rolling, because it's just, now you're living your life and you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing to help you live it in an awesome way, you know?
I'm going to have to quote you, and I'll always give you credit, but that's such a simple but kind of profound truth, that there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. I think of myself, I use myself as an example to kind of just relate to the people out there, maybe the newbies, because, you know, a lot of my health issues have come to my own attention in the past year. And yet, you know, you jokingly referred to me earlier, like, hey, you're the queen bee of fitness. And people will always say that to me about Fitfluential. They're like, Kelly, she's Miss Fitness. And I'm like, girl or guy behind the scenes, you know, I'm dealing with, like, I had a lot of knowledge, right? And yeah, I knew all the right stuff. But sometimes when you've got stuff going on behind the scenes, or maybe you're refusing to address certain things, and this could be anything, it could be health related, financial related, work related, you ignore it. And then sometimes you're not applying, you know, the wisdom that you can pull out of that knowledge. So for me, I'll always use myself as an example, like, hey, I've had the glorious blessing of being around folks like Di, and, you know, some of the other folks that have been on the show, I've been able to learn from them. But sometimes I wasn't applying the wisdom. All of these people have said to me over time, you're overtraining, you're pushing yourself too hard. I mentioned Dr. Mike Roussel sending me to Mark Crabtree before. Mm-hmm. He and I remember Joe Dowdell at the time, they were like, you have to slow down. I see you on social media. You're doing these 90-minute workouts, 180-minute workouts. What's your problem? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So then I just stopped posting it on social media. I wouldn't put my picture of my Polar heart rate monitor up or whatever, but I wasn't applying the wisdom. You know, I had all the knowledge and I just put it to the side. So great, great saying there, great mantra. Pay attention to that and apply it. I think probably now, you know, is a good time. I'd love people to hear and certainly purchase. It's a great idea with the holiday gift season coming up. Hint, hint. He didn't tell me to say that. You published a book, and I shared this on social media early, called The Whole Life Manifesto. And I love it for so many reasons. One, I think just the physical book in and of itself. It's not just a bunch of text, which I think is a mistake a lot of folks in the fitness space make. They have a lot of that knowledge, but it becomes an encyclopedia. You know, we're visual creatures. We like to see. I mean, why do you think things like Pinterest and Instagram are so successful? Mm-hmm. It appeals to the visual nature in us. So I love that your book, just from a simplistic view, it has a lot of visuals. It has a lot of photos in it. It breaks up, you know, the text. But tell us what, in your words, why did you write this book, and what is the Whole Life Manifesto about? Because then folks are going to understand why I'm saying everybody needs to get this book.
Well, thank you, Kelly. And that's awesome.
And, you can quote me on that.
Yeah, I know. I will. I think actually I did get you quoted in the book.
Oh, I forgot we did
yeah,
that.
I know. I think you're actually on the back. But
sweet.
Whole Life Fitness Manifesto. And I just want to get the fitness in there, because.
My bad. Totally my bad.
No, it's great. I hear it all the time. But because it is Whole Life Manifesto, but it's a Whole Life Fitness Manifesto. And the easiest way for me to describe it is, as you mentioned, you know, people learn a lot of different ways. And I've always been a very visual kind of learner. And for me to best understand things, I often will use metaphors, you know, so I can get visual pictures of what I'm trying to talk about. So envision your life like a home, all right? And your home is built on a solid foundation. Well, my foundation is health, all right? And upon my home, I construct my home, my personal life, my whole life on this foundation of health. And there's four walls, and it's fitness, faith, finances, and family. All right. So four F's. Hmm. And then there's an overarching roof of fun. And these are literally my pillars. Right. So family is very important to me, and it's always going to be important to me. And as well as finances, I recognize we live in a world where I love it if we were on a barter system, but we don't, we're not in that world anymore. You know, we have to have finances in order to support our life, okay? And our ambitions, our dreams, and the things that we want to be able to do. So finances also, you have to be financially fit, right? You have to have a fit family. And when I say that, I'm talking about relationships. And then there's faith, you know? And when I say faith, a lot of people think I'm talking about denomination. Of faith, some denomination. I'm just talking about something greater than you. I'm talking about giving back to community, giving back to society, not only on a local, but also on a global perspective. So what is that faith to you? It could be done any numbers of ways. It could be through your local church, you know? For me, it's just that way of giving back to community. So family, fitness, finances, faith. Now, fitness is the extension from which you can directly improve your health. Okay, so we know by going to the gym or playing a sport, going for a hike, going for a bike ride, whatever, that reinforces our foundation of health. And so that's a very important pillar to me because it's the only way I directly know how to improve my strength as well as my physical fitness, you know, and a lot of the other things that happen on the inside of my body can be directly influenced by fitness. And I don't need to be a doctor to tell you that. There's enough on PubMed that will prove that point. And then you got to have fun, right? You have to be able to enjoy everything that you're doing. And so the Whole Life Fitness Manifesto teaches people to look at their lives in a simpler fashion, right? I think we overcomplicate things a lot.
Yeah.
And so I want to give people a very simple solution or a blueprint that they can use to sort of morph their own idea of what is it going to take to build a lifestyle that I'm truly happy with, having fun with, but also able to enjoy for not only now, but for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And there's a foundational program. It's 30 minutes a day, 2% of your 24 hours, 15 minutes of movement with purpose, 5 minutes of mindfulness, 10 minutes of personal development. So that is like flossing your teeth for your body, okay? It's your minimum commitment. So even on days when you're so busy, you're still going to give me 30 minutes. And if you give me 30 minutes, here's the program for you. It's body weight movements. It's done HIIT style. You can do it in your living room. As long as you got enough room to throw down the towel, you got enough room to do the workout. And so I, you know, being in the industry for 20 years, I've dealt with every objection known to man. Okay. I know what people will tell me. I know. And when I set out to write this book, I was like, I'm going to be very proactive. Okay. I've worked in sales for 17 years as well. I scaled I come from business and as well as fitness, and I know sales. I also know how to handle objections. And a lot of objections people give me, their excuses, are really just bad habits in disguise. You know, they're habitually, however they show up at the gym is how they show up in life. You know, and I'm not the one that originally said that. I've heard it before. I think it might have been Tom Durkin. I'm not sure. But regardless, you know, the way you show up, it says so much about you. And so it's simply a system for people to adopt and use to complement what they're already doing. But more importantly, Kelly, like what you've done with Fitfluential, I've created an online community that people can access for free. And that's to hold them accountable, to also encourage them, to pick them up when they fall, but also just to be there to create a community. Because we all know that, and there's a study that just literally got published in Time magazine yesterday, and it talked about the benefit of community can either be positive or negative. If you hang around a bunch of people that aren't exercising, aren't working out, aren't motivated in life, you too will be like that. But if you're getting around a community of people that are movers and shakers and all about improving their life and their lifestyles and their health, you too will do that. And just look it up in Time. There's a great study that just released, and it's awesome. I mean, I didn't need a study to prove that. I've been doing it now already for a lot of years, but it's nice to know that science is backing you now. So, but yeah, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. You know, that's it in 3.5 minutes. So there you go.
You hit on so many things there, and I didn't see that Time article, but I'm going to look it up, and we'll make sure we link that in the show, as well as so many of the other things, in the show notes. So many, you mentioned a lot of other things. We'll link up Dr. Gary, the Superhuman Conference. I didn't hear about that, so I'd love to hear about that as well. But some of the things you just touched on, you know, incidentally, I want to come back to mindfulness, but you talked about, you know, choosing who you're going to, and I'm using air quotes, hang out with? Who's going to be your tribe? Who's your community, right? And it's so key. And it's funny because I know, among others, I ended up chatting about this with Gary Vaynerchuk on his interview. And, you know, he brought up two sides of the coin here. He's like, you know, number one, in business and in life, you're the result of the people you hang around with, so choose wisely. But then he also said, you know, secondarily, and I know you feel this way, I mean, what's the definition of fitfluential? It's like there are people that aren't living this way yet, or people, maybe if you look at it from a business perspective, that don't know what you know. So you can be an example to the people that maybe are still living that sloth life, right? And parked on the couch watching Netflix and having Krispy Kreme donuts. And sometimes on a day, a certain day, that might be just fine, okay? But if, you know, those people are still living that way, be an example to them, be an inspiration to them, but hold yourself accountable and define your tribe or your community online and in real life, people that are going to drive you, like Dai said, that are going to push you. That's absolutely key. And I think that's one of the beautiful things. There's a lot of drawbacks to social media, especially when it comes to fitness. And that might actually be my next question for you. But some of the good things are connecting us. I mean, look at Dai. I mean, you and I felt like I knew you before we even had sushi. So reach out to other people. I'd go back to what we said earlier about, you know, the gym. Same thing with social media. If there's somebody you look up to, it doesn't mean that people that, you know, have services, maybe they're a trainer or they have a book. You know, not everybody can give away their time for free, but a lot of people do want to help. And there's resources and maybe things that they have on their website that can get you started. And then when you're ready to invest more in yourself, you can take things up a notch. But that's the good thing. And actually, I am going to let that be my next question for you, because we talked about it one time, but you're very active in social media. You're excellent. In fact, that's why I first like chased you down to become a Fitfluential ambassador. So I'm like, here's a guy, he gets Twitter, he gets Facebook, he has a blog, like he's a unicorn. Like, we could never find enough men in fitness that were actually like sharing their journey and inspiring others on social media. What do you see as, you know, I see a lot of crap and bad information that's out on social media. What frustrates you the most that, you know, newbies are exposed to? And for newbies that are listening, like, what do you want to say? Don't pay attention to this. Or what frustrates you the most that you see on social media that people should disregard or kind of skip over?
Well, let me ask you a question, Tom. And this is just going to prove a point. Those that are listening right now, you can ask yourself this question too. Kelly, how do you feel about me saying, do this, don't do that, eat this, don't eat that, jump, don't jump, do a burpee, don't do a burpee? Like, me giving you orders, right? I'm not giving you a choice. I'm simply barking at you orders, things that, this is how you should live your life. So just go do it. And I think that's what frustrates me most about social, is a lot of people use it as a tool to project their opinions and ideas. It's one thing to show your ideas, your beliefs, your philosophies through your actions and just let people come to their own conclusion. I that's how I use social. So when you'll see that, it's very much conversational. I look at it as a great tool to engage with people, to make them think. I have three filters: inspire, motivate, and educate. You know, so when I create a piece of content online, I'm hoping that it touches on at least one of those three, if not all three. And I hope that it also has a little bit of fun with it. And so my family, we practice show, don't tell with social. And so what frustrates me is I see a lot of younger people taking these tools, using it as a megaphone to simply share the message out. And they don't realize that when it comes to branding, as well as just engaging with people, there's always two sides, right? There's how you project yourself, and there's how it's interpreted by the others. And a lot of the time, the two don't connect. And the unfortunate thing is people just don't come to terms with that. And they continue to project. and it's that whole idea that if I throw enough spaghetti against the wall, something's going to stick. And Gary talks about this very well, a lot more colorfully than I do. but he does. And he does a great job. He lectures on this all the time. Oh, jab, jab, right hook, right? Like, it's about giving. It's about creating value for people and ultimately leading by an example. I, I think we're very fortunate to have these tools today, but do we use them in that way to lead rather than to try to push? And I've just learned the hard way. I remember back in my 20s, that's just how I used to train clients. And I used to fire clients. Like, I was an awful person to train back in the day. I have no problem telling people this. I've written about it. I've talked about it. I've lectured about it. It's all good now. But there's a reason why I got into equipment sales, you know, early on in my 20s versus pursuing my full-time personal training career. Because I realized that, you know, it was great. If I trained a client for 3, 4, sometimes 5 hours a week, that was fantastic. But there was 163 hours I didn't see them during the week. And that's when everything came undone. Mm. You know, so it was always this 2 steps forward, sometimes 3 steps back or 2 steps back. So I felt like we were always at a net gain zero. And it was crazy. It used to frustrate the heck out of me. And that was a bit of a long answer to your very short question. But I think that's sort of what frustrates me. I tell people, just look for people that are just leading their life as an example.
Yep.
And they practice what they preach. And, I don't really preach it, but I do share it a lot. And I tell people, just follow me on any social channel. It's the nice thing of having a very unique name. I'm unencumbered on social media because I have every handle on every platform. And it's just my name. So I'm the easiest guy to get a hold of. You can get me on anything. Like, if you said, and I'm an army of one. I don't have a team of people doing my social for me. It's all me. So, and that's how I live my life, you know.
But that's the way to live. And, you know, it's funny because I'm sure you remember, and I'm certainly not going to mention any names, but, you know, in the early days when I founded FitFluential in 2011, and it was like, in my experience, 2011, 2012, like CrossFit was becoming really big and it was popping and everybody's like, CrossFit, yay! And, you know, I mean, it was like every age, everybody was talking about CrossFit, love it or hate it. And sometimes, just like in any sport or fitness practice, you can get what I call these elitists. Mm-hmm. There's paleo elitists. I mean, I practice a paleo approach, but I don't call myself an elitist. And I knew early on in FitFluential, I'm like, I want passionate, wonderful people who walk the walk, but I don't want elitists. I want people that respect it. You know, like if you're not into bodybuilding and figure competition, because, you know, that's a very, sometimes people look at that group of folks, those are the mutants over there. They're bodybuilders. They're on that stage. They wear dark tans. I don't understand them. Well, you know what? Maybe you don't understand them, but respect that they put a lot of work into it. Same thing for CrossFit. If you don't like CrossFit, that's fine, but respect the people that do it. What I don't like to see, whether it's from a vegan to a paleo person or from a person that does CrossFit to a yogi or anybody, there are people in social media, and I remember one in particular, again, I won't mention any names. This guy was like a CrossFit paleo guy who literally spent his entire day online trolling for people that were vegans and yelling at them, going, why aren't you having any dairy? What's wrong with you? And I'm thinking, couldn't you be making a better example with your life? Like instead of, and I'm sure, I think his Twitter account has been expelled, but I love that you said live by example, let people see, you know, by how you live versus what you're preaching. You know, you really shouldn't have to preach. And I'm sure that that's how, you know, you have such a vibrant and beautiful family. It seems like you've got a good dialogue going with both your wife and your kids, that it's not like you're lecturing to your kids to be healthy and get outside. You have respectful conversations and you're kind of walking the walk, and everybody, you give them chances to explore how they want to eat, how they want to move. And that's really what it should be. It should be, whether it's within your own family or with other folks, newbies, beginners, whatever, respect other people's choices and just lead by example. So I commend you on that. That's awesome. I'm going to give you, let's see, we're nearing the end of our time. I got to respect your time, Dive. But one last thing before, because you mentioned something, and it can be kind of a buzz term, but you mentioned 5 minutes of mindfulness that you talk about in your book. And I'm curious, you know, there's so many people out there, like I used to be about a year and a half ago, where you hear that term and you're like, oh, I have no idea. What does that mean? You know, can you, for the newbie out there, what's mindfulness to you, and why does 5 minutes of mindfulness matter every day?
Well, it's the bare minimum for one. And I find by getting people committed to 28 days of, you know, committing 30 minutes a day to you,
Because Kelly, if you were, say, my client that came to me and you were like, I want to make some changes, I'm like, okay, all I want is 30 minutes a day and you're going to invest in you. Okay, because this is an investment that's going to pay dividends for a long time following, because we're going to create some new habits. And I mean, empower you and educate you. But the mindfulness piece is just giving people the tools to de-stress, to take a second rather than constantly be in reactionary mode of always respond, respond, respond. You can actually slow down, pause, soak it in, be present in the now, right now, in that moment, and think it through. You know, like, that is what mindfulness has brought to me, is that ability to just, like, not react. Like, the knee-jerk reaction a lot of times, because I'm very type A, okay? So, I get frustrated, and I gotta chill, man, because I've blown my gasket a few times, you know, in my life, and it's more so out of frustration, especially towards ignorance, you know? Like, I have a very short fuse when it comes to ignorance, and especially when it's blatant. And so practicing mindfulness is something that I used to do during martial arts, especially Taekwondo and kickboxing, was just taking time either before or after my practice to just sit and just be there in the moment and reflective on my own thoughts. And but like anything, it's a skill and it needs to be practiced. So if people can give me 5 minutes a day, I know that's the bare minimum. And for a lot of people, I'll tell you right now, based on all the feedback I've had of the thousands of people who have been through my program, it is the most challenging part of it. It's sitting there in stillness for 5 minutes. It's crazy. But, you know, fortunately, there's apps like Headspace, which is making it more accessible to people.
Giving them love that system.
It is. It's fantastic. And so I recommend a few different apps in my book and on my sites. And I know there's some great tools out there. Even if you understand heart rate variability, there's a big tie-in with that nowadays to meditation. Can't go into it right now, but it's when you learn to really gauge your stress levels. You mentioned earlier that you were overtrained and under recovering, and HRV is a direct tie to that. So if people look up heart rate variability and just go read some of the articles and some of the published studies on it, you'll see how that can tie in with mindfulness beautifully and also teach you how to read your body much more effectively. And so there's some days where I'll take my heart rate first thing in the morning. I'm like, oh, you know what? My rest and hurry is way off. I'm bouncing back and forth between two numbers, and it's erratic. I can't train today. You know, I just can't. I'll go for a nice recovery day. I might go do a long, leisurely row on the rowing machine, or I might go for a longer walk. But I'm not going to spike my heart rate. I'm not going to push it today because I'm under-recovered. And when you start to learn how to read your body that way, it's very empowering. And and you find you get better results. And in all aspects. It's not just in the gym. You know, like listen, the gym's just prepping us for all the hours outside of the gym. And so it's a big piece, and it's the piece that I stress the most. But it is also a very hard and challenging thing today because we're so connected. We're always connected. We're always connected to something.
I hope everybody is picking up what Dai is throwing down, because it is legit. And coming from, you know, someone here who, again, I'm as type A, alpha female, workaholic, push it. You know, if something can be, you know, more is always better. And, you know, Kevin, who's my co-host on the podcast, you know, he's my health coach and has taught me so much this year. But the biggest thing he works on me with, you know, in person is he's still, and I'm just being transparent with everybody because I want to lead by example and let you all know, like, I still have issues with, like, overtraining because I have hormonal imbalances that are taking a while. It's been 20 years of bad lifestyle choices with antibiotics and birth control pills, all of these things that added up to a whole mess behind the scenes. But as a fitness person who not only wants to be able to function correctly, but look, let's get real. There's an aesthetic side to it for me. I'd be lying if I told you guys there wasn't. So I do have that tendency to want to go, oh, okay, well, if I do a 30-minute exercise session, 60's better and 90's even better and 120's great, yay! No, it's not. So I love, Dai, that you give credence to this. And again, this might sound silly, but I know that this attitude permeates out there. There are a lot of men and women, men in particular, who think that things like yoga are like, well, that's just foo-foo, and you know, it's not hard enough, or mindfulness or meditation, it's like hippie and it's like out there, and I can't relate to that. Yes, you can. This stuff is for everybody, and it will affect all areas of your life. And it does. It helps you in business. It helps you in your family. And all of those things start to bleed into other areas. So, you know, if you can, we've had several guests on the show mention that Headspace app. Tune in, look it up, get it down your phone, but just do some Googling on Dai before you buy his book, because of course you're going to buy his book. I'm obsessed with his book. Like I said, I think it's a great gift for anybody. I think you've done an outstanding job, Dai. But now that we're kind of wrapping this up, this has been a great interview. I'm seriously going to want you back on the show. I know our listeners are going to be writing in. And yeah, to that note, everybody that's listening, please let us know on fitfluentialradio.com. We're going to do some Twitter chats with Dai. I don't know if I told you that, Dai, but you are going to do a Twitter chat with us. And we're going to talk about your book. And I thought you said you were in, but if not, hey, I just totally said that here on the show. But also, let us know what questions you have for Dai. You know, if there were things that we didn't cover here, we can cover that next time he's back on the show. But Dai, we talked about your book. I completely blew the title. I said Whole Life Manifesto. It's Whole Life Fitness Manifesto. Where can folks that are just discovering you find you online? You talked about your name and it's unique, but is it DaiManuel.com? And yeah, is it that way on all social media? Tell us where we can find you.
Yeah, so you can find me on any social platform just by my name, Dai Manuel, DaiManuel. You type that into Google, Dai Manuel, and you found me, okay? there's no hiding me. Like, there's no erasing me from history now, because it's the only name. And man, when Google came around, I understood SEO. I was like, way to go, mom and dad. Way to go. They were visionaries, you know? And for those that are wondering what the hell Dai means, it's a Welsh name for David, and Manuel is Portuguese. So yes, I am a mutt. And but it's all good. It makes for good SEO too. So you can reach out. My blog's got over 1,200 articles on it, and I write for a number of magazines, and I do quite a bit of regular media too. So if you Google me, you'll find me all over.
That's awesome. And by the way, I'm a mutt too. I'm Slovak, Italian. I forget everything. I'm French Canadian on my mom's side. You know, but people always ask me what I am. I'm like, that's just a loaded question. So we'll get into that. Just look me up on issues.com and you'll see Kelly Alexa like, hey, I'm here. So Dai, this was, as usual, every time I interview you, it's fantastic. You, again, are truly one of my favorite people. You live the fitfluential lifestyle. I want to put you in the dictionary when people look up fitfluential. You are living, eating, breathing. You have a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. Everybody, I encourage you to follow him and stalk him online, learn from him, be inspired by him. Get yourself his book. You will love it. And again, I know you'll want to buy copies for everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. We will definitely get Dai back on the show, and we will see you next week. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast.
We want this to be your podcast, so please head on over to iTunes, write a review, give us your feedback, tell us what you want to see, give us your ideas, and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace.
Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of hosts Kevin Cottrell and Kelly Alexa and are the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and the content and opinions expressed on the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.